Okay, welcome everyone to the March 17th, 2021 meeting of the Trails Management Subcommittee. As we do every time, we're probably gonna go around and just introduce ourselves so that everybody knows everybody. I'm Kathleen Brundage. I am the Conservation Program Manager for the Coachella Valley Multiple Species Habitat Conservation Plan. And Jim Cox, I have you first.
I'm Jim Cox, not Kathy Cox. That's my wife's iPad I'm on. And I'm a delegate for Palm Desert City.
Thank you. Jim Karpiak.
I am Jim Karpiak, the Executive Director of the Coachella Valley Mountains Conservancy.
Dr. Longshore.
I'm Kathy Longshore. I work with the USGS, or for them actually. And I am conducting the study on the effects of recreational trail users on sheep habitat.
Great, thank you. Amy.
I'm Amy Byer and I'm with Bighorn Institute.
Wonderful. Brian Swanson.
Hi, Brian Swanson, Community Development Director for the City of Desert Hot Springs. I'm on my third week here on the job, so I'm new to the region and to the group. So thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate it. Let's see, Gordon.
Hi, I'm Gordon Fiddler and I'm with Friends of the Desert Mountains.
Gordon, I must've called you Gordy. That's what it says on your screen.
Yeah. That's what my computer.
Hi, Karen Jaffe, Marketing and Development Associate for Friends of the Desert Mountains.
Dan Ramirez.
Hi, I'm Dan Ramirez. I work for Joshua Tree National Park, Acting Trail Supervisor for the Trails Division.
Thank you, Dan, for being here. Alicia.
Hi, I'm Alicia Thomas, a wildlife biologist with United States Fish and Wildlife Service out of the Palm Springs Field Office.
And with a beautiful background, it looks like.
Thanks.
Janice.
Hi, I'm Janice McBride. I'm a supervisor at the Palm Springs Office for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Thank you, Janice. I have Joan, is that you?
It is, yes, thanks. Joan Taylor, at large member and dog subgroup chair.
Great, thank you. Stefan. Stefan, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Hi, I'm from California Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Thank you. Elaine, is one of those numbers you?
Yeah, Elaine and Andy are trying to get in.
Yeah, I have a 323-791 number. Anybody? Okay. 760-898 number.
That's me, Scott Collins.
Okay. Thank you. Do you can you change your name there, Scott, so that we can let you know who you are? Do you know how to do that? No, actually you can't.
No, okay. I'm calling in.
All right, I will change your name. 843-343 number.
That's me. That's Jane Garrison. I'm calling in as well.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, guys.
Okay, and I have one other person, 323-791 number. Can you hear us?
Hi, Joe, Sky Valley.
Oh, okay. Is Noelle?
Yeah. Okay. I'm calling you.
Great. Thanks. Okay. I think I have everyone. I sent the number to Elaine and they were going to call in, so.
Kathleen, if I could just mention, Rich Jarvinen won't be here today. He got stuck between here and San Diego, so he'll be able to get here in time.
All right, I'll send him the recording, Gordy. Sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, he sends his regrets that he'll be thinking of us.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So we have a lot to talk about today. Just real quick. Is there any introductions or announcements? I'm sorry, any announcements that we want to go through? Any announcements from anybody? All right. For the working group updates, I have dog enforcement up first, and then Kathy will go through her summary.
I'll take a brief stab at it, Joan, here. I really defer to Jane and just want to pass along that Elaine and Andy are chomping at the bit to replace signs that have been taken down, but they can't seem to get any signs from BLM. Katie, can you supply them with signs?
I have 20 signs that need to be delivered. I was going to deliver to Palm Springs in the afternoon tomorrow after our hike, exploratory hike with Gordon. They asked for 5. Jane, did you want some too?
Yeah, I had just asked Patrick for 1 because we found out there's some people entering the Lichen Trail from a trail in the Mesa, and they're bringing dogs off leash, and that's where they're entering. We need probably 2. But I was going to suggest, if you want, I am happy to keep the signs at my house just to make it easier for people to pick them up. They don't have to pick them up during, city work hours.
Yeah,
that would be fantastic if it could be done.
Yeah, I was going to drop.
But we
off
need
10.
More than 5.
Hey, this is Andy. I just got in.
Okay. Elaine, are you on too?
And we need a lot more than 5.
Right. So the city requested 5. So I was going to leave 5 with them. Like I said before you guys got on, I have 20. So I was going to distribute them among people. I can leave 10 with Jane, or do you need more than that?
I don't think we need more than that.
We need more than that. We're going to take down the old signs and replace them with the new signs is what we're doing.
Oh, I see.
And some of them have been torn down. There's just a post there. But we also need some posts. So maybe we should come to you, Kathleen, and pick it up.
Well, I'm not down in the valley, so I will drop them at Jane. Are you going to be around Thursday?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Did you say Jane?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Yes, I will be around. I'm happy to hold 10 or as many as you want. I could put them in my garage. It's not a problem. And if for some reason I'm not here, I can even tell you how to get in there. And I'm, pretty central in Palm Springs, South Palm Springs. So I'm happy to hold as many as you like.
And you have nuts and bolts, right?
No, I do not have nuts. Yeah, no, I do not.
I'll get those. Yeah, and I'd be happy to contribute towards posts if they're needed. We can raise the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Jane said, or Kathleen said she could get those. She knows where to order them and everything.
I do, but I don't have
a. You already have them, Kathleen?
No, I don't have them with me. You would have to pick them up from Tops and Barricades, and we would have to order them. And that's that takes time. They are. That's probably the cheapest place to get them in Indio, but they are, you can get them from pretty much any sign shop or with it. These are the U-channel posts, 8 foot, so.
Sounds good. Yeah, we'll figure that one out. If you could send us a link, okay. That would be terrific too.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Joan, I'm happy to contribute too, Joan. Just let me know.
Great.
All right, Jane, I'll send you a message.
Good team effort.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Kathleen. I really appreciate your getting those signs made and everything. Working through this is wonderful.
I just want to say one thing really quick. This is Elaine. Jane, I haven't met you, but I just want to say that last year we tried to get these signs and we waited a whole year and we can't seem to get them up. And now we got one more month till Andy leaves and he's the one with the muscle to put them all in. So we really, really need them. And I think Jane needs, don't you need to put them all the way South Palm Canyon, you know, to the end there. We put those on those posts for you, but they're old signs. Don't you want new ones on those posts?
I think that those are probably fine for now. We have replaced some of them. You know, we love the ones that you put there. We replaced a couple of them and put them in bigger areas. We also have Scott down there. So Scott is better than sign.
Yeah. And, I think if it's just a process thing, I think we ought to do it offline because they have a big agenda today. If it's particular to signs. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And just text me. And anyone just text me and then, you know, I'll be flexible to have anyone pick up signs here. There won't be a delay.
Great. And what is your text number?
843-343-8887.
Thank you.
And I'm in South Palm Springs.
Thank you.
Great. Okay, hey good. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Is there any thing with dogs that we need?
I'm sorry, I missed that. What was that?
Is there any other issues with dogs that we need to discuss?
Well, I just have a general comment. You know, it's pointless when Scott Collins is not certified to write people citations. I work with him a few days a week, and this is Andy speaking. And, you know, you get people with a variety of attitudes and responses, but in general, people get it, but yet they still return and take their dogs up there and let them run off leash anyway. And it just seems like there's no consequence. There's no bite. And so I don't know if Scott could go to a certification thing with the city so that he could write him a citation or a warning or something, because it's pretty worthless when you have a brown t-shirt on and people go, who are you? So.
I agree. I mean, if there's a way that we could get something that allows Scott to write citations or warnings or something, I mean, that would be amazing.
Yes, because it's not fair to him, you know.
No, I know. Yeah. He takes all the grief.
Yeah, he does. And I'm out there with him. And so I get the grief too.
Yeah, enforcement is a problem. And years ago, there was a BLM ranger who would come out and ticket people. It doesn't take too many times before the word gets around to the dog walker.
I agree.
I think we can put that on our list to talk to the agencies about. I'm sure Fish and Wildlife would love to have the responsible agencies put a ranger out there once in a while.
Sure.
Yeah, they just rented a few.
Exactly.
You're right, Joan.
This is Alicia for the Forest Service. There's a program where non-law enforcement could take a class called the Forest Protection Officer, FPO. So they had the ability to write citations, but they weren't necessarily law enforcement. So I had to take that too. So you have that authority to write citations and to issue warnings. But, you know, any actual law enforcement issue that came up, you know, if you had a belligerent person you were dealing with, you would have to call them back up. But yeah, it was like a 2-day long course at the time in Arizona, Forest Protection Officer through the Forest Service. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if that's interagency. It might be interagency, you know, or maybe it could be a framework for Scott.
Yeah, be sure. Yeah, it sure be nice for Scott to be able to do that because he's beating his head against the wall. And I'm trying to back him up, and we're shooting. We're both photographers, so we shoot pictures of people with dogs, and then, you know, then he catches them at one end, I catch them at the other end, and they go, "Oh, that wasn't us." I go, "Oh, yeah. Oh, look at these pictures." You know, then they're caught red-handed. So
there's some info on him taking that course. That would be great. And we would be willing to, if there's a fee, we'd be willing to pay the fee for him to take it if he's interested. Scott, I don't want to talk for you, but I think it would be great.
Yeah.
Scott online?
In a minute.
Yeah, he is.
Okay. Well, I don't want to take up any more time for your meeting, so I appreciate what you're doing, and let's just continue to work together so we can get this, to get the signs up and keep this thing going.
Katie, could you put this on the next meeting's agenda to talk to BLM about if we don't catch them in between, see if that might work?
Yeah, TJ is the new BLM ranger for the monument as well. So their kind of hands are tied for outside of BLM lands, but we should have TJ on alert for at least give him Scott's number so that if he has, you know, need to do that and be out in that area. I'm not sure what his, I did give him just now, I gave him our information for Palm Springs contacts for the gate on behind the bond that goes up to the goat trails. That one is specifically, I guess, been vandalized and it's not working anymore. And he thought it was the city land, and it wasn't city land. It's actually belongs to Palm Hills. So Hey, Meg's online.
I think we have one problem here. We need to talk first. The ranger can only do BLM, right? He can't do where Jane is.
I met with TJ. We met him, and he has to take a class for being, he's working on his jurisdiction, and he has to take a class to do state lands, and then he'll be able to enforce state lands, and he's trying to figure out Palm Springs land. He has to talk to the city. So he's working on figuring out his jurisdiction. And I've made him aware of all the dog issues. I've given him Scott's contact information and all of that. So, so we have the ball rolling. He's just working on figuring out his jurisdiction, and he needs to take that state class for sure.
Okay. When do you think we'll hear about that? How long is that going to take?
I don't know.
This is a problem.
He's new, so I don't want to push too hard.
we've got to get it done.
If you
could get that as ASAP, we'd appreciate it. It's getting so frustrating, you know. I had a lady with three dogs chasing all the sheep on Shannon. You know, it's just so. She said, "I don't talk to anybody unless they have a badge." So, you know, what are you going to do?
It's frustrating.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. Especially because there's so many now on Garson that haven't been there for years. So anything you could do to expedite that, we'd sure appreciate it, because Andy and I are getting very frustrated with the whole thing. You know, I think the new signs should help, because
general, the signs are helping, but there's still just a small element of people who just disregard, disrespect all that, and they just do what they want to do anyway. So
Scott got her a couple days after that, though, so.
We worked on that and trapped the lady.
So she went
anyway.
Up again.
Okay, right, well, I'm over and out.
Go, but yeah, let us know when you have the signs, Jane, and we probably need at least 10. So the most that you can give us, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, and we'll
give them. Yeah, sounds like I'll have them tomorrow.
Give them back. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
any that we don't. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much, everybody. Bye. Bye, Joan.
Thanks, folks. See ya.
Thanks,
Elaine. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank. And especially thanks, Jane and Scott.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah.
Okay. So Joan.
Yeah, I'm here. Jane here.
Okay. No, I was just making sure I wasn't talking over anybody. I think from there, and we have a good coordination once we get the signs to Jane and the city. So I think I can leave as many as you want, maybe even 15 with you, Jane, and I can order more if we need. So.
Okay, perfect.
Let's see. So from here, we're going to go to Dr. Longshore, and she's going to give us a summary of the results from the study. And Dr. Longshore.
Hey, gang. So what I think I need to cut my video because it says I have low bandwidth. So while I talk, I'm just turning the video off so I don't just cut in and out. And as you know, we started this pilot project, I think it was 2018, to look at the effect of recreational trail use on and users on bighorn habitat use. So first thing, so we, and you know, we use GPS collars, we used data from, as much data as we could get that had with good GPS location data. So we used models, logistic regression models. We looked at environmental variables that included distance to permanent water, slope, ruggedness, all the things that we know affect sheep habitat use, profile curvature, planform curvature, which just tells us something about the landscape, how sheep are using ridges and slopes. We looked at vegetation type and distance to trail. And the first thing, we used a repeated measures, individual bighorn as subject, as separate subjects. We had 34 sheep that had very good data sets, and we used those in our analyses, actually, all the present day analyses. So we looked at big sheep locations and in response to what we would expect from just a random location on the habitat. And each sheep location had a paired random location that was within 500 meters. These vary, but between location points. So it's just kind of an average that we've seen from other data that we've collected on other mountain ranges. We had to start somewhere with that. So the first thing we did was looked at the response. We had two scales that we wanted to examine. One was a landscape scale, looking at all trails across the landscape. And we know we had 16 for this pilot project. There were 16 trails that had trail counters. But to look at the response to all the authorized trails, there were 118 that we had. Of course, we didn't want to extrapolate the user data from those 16 trails across the landscape. So we just looked at placement of the trails and how sheep responded in their habitat use in response to those trails. And so our statistician, Julie, Dr. Yi, she put together for the whole study, there were over 400 models that we used. And that was because we had these individual sheep as subjects. So we used repeated measures because we had data that was, we kept measuring the same sheep location data. So we had to use repeated measures data. We had sheep as a subject because each unique sheep could respond differently. And that was, that's one of the things that we're quite interested in. And then she averaged those models and we looked at differences among seasons for this first part of the analysis. So when we look at how sheep use habitat in response to all the trails, we found that, and these were female sheep, we had no male sheep data, but we found that female sheep were further than expected from trails during spring, but not winter or summer. And so this springtime somewhat avoidance of trails coincides seasonally with more people using those 16 trails when we see highest trail use in spring and then lowest in summer and then, you know, winter moderate comparatively. And it also coincides with the lambing season. Okay, just to let you know, those are the two things that might impact that. We also found that, oddly enough, sheep were closer to trails during summer. And that is also when the user, trail user numbers are lowest. But we weren't looking at user numbers. We were just looking at every trail, even trails in the backcountry, everything. But the time period that we looked, that we used this data for was 2015 through 2019. So that's when we had the best data from our sheep, or your sheep actually, not mine. So knowing that there's variance and variability in environmental factors and numbers of things that affect sheep habitat use, I know, and from past studies that I've done, that sheep habitat use varies among years. So we took a look at springtime season because that's when we really saw that impact. And I looked at variance among those years thinking, you know, is that avoidance the same across years, or is there something that affects it? Certainly sheep were furthest from trails in 2018 and they were the closest in 2019. So during that season. So these are the 2018, looking at the strength of the coefficient for in the logistic regression, because we used logistic regressions for our analysis, looking at the strength of the predictive coefficient, that furthest from trails in 2018 was the strongest predictor. And then also once, so that kind of drove the whole thing. I mean, yes, sheep avoided trails all those seasons, but really 2018 was the big year. We don't have a cause and effect here. We just look at how they use the habitat. One thing that we really noticed, this is the one thing that in particular in springtime was the biggest predictor of sheep habitat use in the model was avoidance of trees and woodland habitat. And of course that coincides with mountain lion predation habits. So you would expect to be a response to predation itself. So after looking at this huge landscape, you know, response and knowing that there's variation among years, some years are lower, the predictive value where they were closer to trails in 2019 was very low, and that strong predictor predictive value in 2018. So knowing that there's variance among years tells me that sheep are not responding to trails by just avoiding them, that in interaction with their habitat, that this is something that they, of course they judge trails in response to how they risk, right? Predation, indirect predation risk. So they're viewing users on trails as, you know, how risky is that to me in view that it might be a predator. And just looking at this, it's very variable among years. And I'll get into a little more detail on that a little bit later. But this, I just want to go into the second thing we looked at, which we took nine of those 16 trails, mainly because of the time we had. These were trails that we also gathered some behavioral data on. The Araby Trail, Art Smith, Boohoff, Cathedral Canyon, Clara Burgess, Gabby Hayes, Hopalong Cassidy Trail, Mike Schuler, and the South Lincoln. And we picked those. There were three were high use, three were moderate, three were low use. And we decided to look at individual trails. We constructed models for each trail, for each season and each year. And I'm not giving you each separate one because we haven't, there's so much data that for the pilot project, we just were picking out the things that we can get to. Separate models for each sheep, we're gonna have to hold. We'll get you that data, but for this report, we will not because it's time consuming to get that. But looking at all those different trails, took those nine trails, separate models for each trails, and then ran a seasonal habitat model for the combined, all nine combined trails. What we found, as expected for the landscape habitat models, sheep were further from trails than expected during spring, I'm sorry, but were closer during summer. So as we expected, but it's so interesting because there was no effect of the numbers of trail users except during summer, when increased trail users in particularly 2018 coincided with PBS being closer to trails. So we saw the same pattern, but trail users.
You broke up back there when you said there was no effect on what?
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. No effect of numbers of trail users. So from the trail count, so sheep were further, but the number of people on the trails didn't seem to affect their habitat use, except during summer when somehow, for some reason, as trail users increased, so did sheep got closer to trails. Okay, now there's among these 9 monitored trails, there definitely is variance in the responses to the number of trail users, or trails, I should say. So during spring and summer of 2018 and 2019, during spring and summer, all the trails, sheep stayed further away than expected for 7 of these 9 trails. Yeah. So, and in 2019, I'll tell you what the 9 trails, I'll tell you what trails were not included in this. So spring and summer 2018, 7 of these trails, sheep stayed further away than expected. Winter, now remember earlier we said 2019 sheep were closer to trails? Well, during winter, they were further from trails on the Cathedral Canyon Trail, the Art Smith Trail. And during spring in 2019, they were further from trails on the Cathedral Canyon Trail and the Gabby Hayes Trail. So even though we look at the model combined, when we split it up among trails, we see that there are separate responses for some of these trails. Now for the Hop Along Cassidy Trail, there was no response to distance of sheep to trails. They didn't, they didn't seem to care that there was a trail there. And oddly, in the Art Smith Trail, bighorn were closer than expected to the trail. So there's variance to years, there's variance in season, there's variance among trails, okay? And I already said during summer of 2018, sheep were closer to the trails as the number of trail users increased. So it's just trails themselves, okay? We then looked at whether trail use affected the distance to water during summer, but we looked at all 3 seasons that sheep were. The reason we use distance to water is we couldn't say from this data that whether sheep were drinking or not, we could just say they came into water or they avoided water. So when we look at this, we looked at trail users on sheep use of water sources for the 9 monitored trails, okay? And for all 3 seasons, the distance, and to do this, we added this variable in the model, distance to water by trail use, and that as an interaction. So for all 3 seasons, we saw no effect. So the number of trail users, no impact on sheep distance to water. So they're not avoiding water sources based on the sheep, the number of trail users that are on these trails. Now, it's interesting because if you look at the theory that supports behaviors, sheep behavior in response to potential disturbances, what we expect to see is that for dispersed resources like forage, like across the landscape, we expect sheep to be able to come and go, move back and forth away from the disturbance or toward the disturbance because they're the resources available across the landscape. So they're not missing out on anything. They, unless there's something that's just along the trail that they really need,
And Joan Taylor here, as someone who drafted the petition to list endangered bighorn, I have a little problem with your drawing conclusory statements. You say you haven't compiled all the data and it sounds like the trails are all mishmashed together and they're all very different. Well, even the U groups are different. Let me just say this. I'm afraid people are going to leave this with your conclusory statements, and this data hasn't been totally, we haven't had a chance to see it. It's almost impossible to understand it and remember it verbally. I think it would be important to send out the report when it is through, get it peer reviewed, and then talk about conclusions of on sheep behavior.
I do object to this. We absolutely understand that. And so she was going to offer a summary, and that's just basically what she's doing is summarizing some of the.
Yeah, but there's some conclusions like the number of trail users don't affect the sheep. Well, that may be very trail specific.
She's just summarizing what the data is showing.
But the models are, nothing has been peer reviewed. I mean, every time the expert sheep biologists came up with expert opinion, all the trail users said, oh, it hasn't been peer reviewed. But they may leave this meeting saying, oh, well, it's been proven now that number of people on the trail doesn't affect sheep. I mean, there's so many variables you don't know, how many dogs were on the trail and so forth. So I do object to hearing conclusory statements.
Well, I'll try and avoid those. I'll just let you know what our models are showing, okay? Would that make you more comfortable?
Well, I don't think this is helpful. I mean, it's a very controversial subject.
Okay.
I think this is unhelpful.
Okay. So do you want me to not continue and just wait till the report gets to you and then go through this?
I think it would be nice for everyone to see the report, to let experts peer review it. It's an awful lot of stuff to hear verbally, but then you have these takeaways.
Yeah.
And you mentioned all three seasons, the sheep weren't affected to water. Well, there are four seasons in a year. I mean, it's confusing at best.
Yeah. You need to know why we use three seasons, and we do it by sheep biology. That's the thing. And that not being able to explain go into detail for the methods and everything, you really do need to see this. The only reason I presented this is because people kept saying, well, do you have any results yet? And so I thought, well, I'll just give you some of the basic stuff. But I understand when you say that, you know, it's too much to take in, and that you really need to read the report. So I'm happy to stop. It's entirely up to you guys.
Amy, I don't know if you have any feelings about it. You're an expert.
I would like to
biologist
to hear.
I agree with Joan. Kathy, you're doing a great job, but it is misleading and can be confusing and misinterpreted because it is a lot that you're divulging here. And I can't even keep up. I don't even know I didn't even get down all the trails, you know, the list of the trails down.
So
I think it would be most advantageous to disseminate your summary, let people digest it, take it in, figure it out, and kind of go from there.
Yeah, I think I don't want to give the summary out until I think I'd rather you guys read the report and not take conclusions from the summary.
Well, that's what I meant, your report, whatever you're going to provide so that everybody can look at it and get on the same kind of comfort level. I think that would be the best route. Because we don't even know which trails were, you know, the 16 trails and all that kind of stuff.
I'm happy to stop. Yeah, no problem.
I appreciate that. And again, I appreciate your effort, but this has been very controversial. And I think we have to work in a measured and very well-informed way.
Right. And also, you might, you know, if we have the report, we get it to you, you might want to, at that meeting, make sure that Julie, the statistician, is on. So if you have those types of statistical questions, that you can also talk to her at the same time. Just a thought. It's entirely, you know, I'll do what you guys want. I just could not get that report to you by the 17th. Just to kind of meet with people's expectations of always asking, well, do you have results yet? I thought this might work, but I can see that it absolutely is not going to work. So we'll wait till we get it for you, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, I really appreciate the effort to give us a summary, because we've all been waiting for something, but It's hard for me to take it all in too. So if we could have the report first and then have a good discussion later, that would be great.
Okay, that's great. I'm happy to do that. It is a lot, and it's a lot of data that we went through. We have a ton of results. It's just hard to take it all in at once. So I will absolutely do that.
And that's a good thing, all the data and the modeling, that's a good thing.
Yeah, right. I mean, we've looked at every angle that we could in the time that we had. And we actually have other, you know, we absolutely had things that we wanted to present that we just couldn't, didn't have to put them all together, like the differences among each sheep's response to the trails, you know, listing how each trail itself, animals respond to each trail. All of those things were time consuming to pull out of the models and the data that Julie gave us when she
did her. I bet.
So trying to give it to you guys was, I was trying to be simple, but it's hard. So thank you. And Joan, thanks for saying something.
Yes, thank you,
well,
Joan.
I'm sorry if I was blunt.
I appreciate it because I appreciate you speaking up.
Yes, and I think it will be indeed very interesting on a per trail basis and so forth. And the more granular it could get, the better.
Mm-hmm.
So the follow-up meeting after the the draft report will be circulated to those who are interested and those who are part of the working group in developing the study and going through it. And it'd be more like a biological working group that we're going to have the discussion in. So anybody here who wants to be part of that discussion and wants to be part of, you know, that review will be invited to that meeting. And not only will we discuss what the USGS study did and did not cover, but also where our steps are gonna go from three to five years from now. So, you know, just like any other biological working group that we have, guys, we, for those who don't attend the biological working groups, we try to understand what we're knowing, what the known unknowns are, and where our next steps are gonna go. And so this works for tortoises, this works for all of our different species. So there's definitely things that need to be pulled out of this study that we say, wow, that was interesting. And there's other areas that'll need to be focused on. So Dr. Longshore was just trying to do her best to give you a summary. And as you can see, there's a lot of data, a lot of analysis, and a lot of information that's coming out of this report. So.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Longshore, for trying to summarize the best you could. Sorry, short.
Well, you have a little idea that there's a lot of stuff. We have many results, so how's that? That's my summary. And they're complex.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Okay, so if you don't, I mean, we'll wait for Kathy's report and that will go to the working group. And please email me if you don't think you're on that working group or you want to be part of that working group and still want to hear, you know, get the draft report sent to you. So as you know, as you probably already know, that USGS doesn't publish anything without peer review. So the draft report is just that, a draft, and nothing gets published by USGS until it's gone through serious, rigorous review. So, okay, I guess we can move on then to thank you, Kathy, for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate it.
Let's see, what is our next? We have North Valley Trails Planning. Jim, did you want to take us through some background on Long Canyon, where that sits, and your trail to Biskra Palms?
Sure. Long Canyon, we're waiting for one more approval of the sign content for that, from the Mojave Desert, Mojave Desert Land Trust. We already got it from Joshua Tree. And so once we get that, we'll be able to print the signs and finish the trail marking for the areas outside the park. The area in the park is going to take care of. So I think we're on track to begin doing that in the next month or two, and on track for a fall opening of that. So that's moving along pretty well. And I know there's the broader discussion of what the signage should look like. And if that is wrapped up by the time we print our signs, which seems unlikely, then we'll use the new model. If not, we'll use the model we've been using at Kim Nickel and Indio Hills, and then we'll replace it later when we do the overall installation of signs around the valley. So that's Long Canyon. And then Biskra Palms, Gordon led a group of us out there a couple weeks ago, Thursday, and we found a really nice route into Biskra Palms from the east. Unfortunately, I learned afterward that the map that we were using was off, and the trailhead area is on private property. So I don't know if that's gonna work. We may have to approach it from the other side, which is Coyote Song, I believe is the name of the street there. But I think it'd be a nice loop trail and something that wouldn't be too hard to do physically. And also most of the land there is public except for the site I mentioned. So we wouldn't have to be held up for years waiting for permissions of various people. So those are two, that's the a new trail that we look at doing over the next couple of years. So that's all I know on those topics.
We're going to be out at Sky Valley tomorrow, doing some exploratory work as well, looking at some of the trails on Friends of the Desert Mountains and CVCC land, looking at putting in some trailhead and interpretational signage around there. We have a number of different the GPS that goes on all trails, the use tracks that go up into that area. And there are currently disturbed dirt roads in the area that are being used, so. But it is one of those areas that would be nice for horseback riding. And so the state is interested in developing trails out there. So that, and let's see, I think that's all I have. Oh, there's a trail in Thousand Palms that we discussed not too long ago, but I kind of wanted to circle back around, and none of the equestrian folks are here right now. So, but I wanted to say that this Thousand Palms trail that goes up into the canyon there, Jim, that we discussed before, it's off of, Rio do Sol and what, like 38th, I think it is. And that area is, currently has a lot of OHV use on the west side, but the actual horse gate that goes up into the canyon looks really good. Looks like people have been using it with horses in there and going up into the canyon. So if we can somehow limit the OHV use on the west side, that would be safer for horses. And that's one of my concerns there. But did you ever go after that campground you were looking at, putting an equestrian campground up in there?
Whom are you asking?
Jim, you.
It's not ringing a bell, at least by that description. Maybe I'd know it by the name of the owner or something.
Well, you guys own the property now. It's just at the end over by Sierra del Sol. Rio do Sol up in that canyon. Doesn't really have a name for the canyon, so.
Oh yeah, I mean, I vaguely recall the property, and your question was whether we've talked about a trailhead there recently?
We had talked about having an an equestrian trail that would go up to an equestrian campsite up in the hills there.
Yeah, I vaguely remember. We haven't done anything about it since, probably since you and I talked, but we can talk about it tomorrow. I'm happy to do that.
Okay. Yeah, it's got a horse gate on it already on your mm-hmm. property. So that might be.
Yeah, it sounds like a cool thing. So. Yeah, that would keep the desert riders and others really happy with us. So that would be good.
Okay. All right. Anything else for North Valley Trails, Joshua Tree, or other folks who are on, any concerns? No. Okay, great. Let's see. For the Trails Management Program, Gordon, do you have any review of maintenance and safety signage needs other than the dog signs we already talked about?
No, not at this time. I put in sporadically signs here and there if there's a specific need for it, but not any general plan, no.
Okay.
Kind of all looking at this Prop 68 stuff and kind of holding off on any bigger project, I think.
So for the Prop 68 stuff, did we want to talk about, I guess there's a meeting on April 1st and you kind of discussed that, Jim. Did you guys have any more information on that? Karen or Gordon, where we're sitting?
There is that meeting to go over what we have, which isn't great, but at least it will allow us to begin ironing out some big picture issues like, you know, the degree of consistency and that sort of thing. So I don't know, Karen or Joan might have something to add.
Oh, it's a great meeting to figure out what we do want.
Right.
We know now what we don't want, so looking forward to it.
Same here.
Okay, sounds good. We are hoping that we can get something done sooner than later with a lot of this interpretational science, especially, and for our part of it, identifying where the conservation areas are and what we want that to look like. So I know previously we had been working with the kind of the BLM look and feel, and I know we want science to be coordinated, but I might be leaning towards a little bit different signage for some of our conservation lands. So yeah. I think I can share that with you at the meeting and we'll see what's going on with everything. So.
And that's exactly what we're talking about, is signs that look a little different. So.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Working our way through I have a really cool update, actually. Our ArcGIS online dashboard and database is pretty much up and running for land management issues. And we have the ability to add different, if you have an ArcGIS agency database, or if you have an account for ArcGIS online, we are able to add you into that database so you can see where there's different issues on the conservation lands. I know many of us, Friends of the Desert Mountains, the Coachella Valley Mountains Conservancy, and I'm sure Jane, as Oswick comes, you know, further along and you guys want to be added to look at that stuff, certainly be available to do so.
We definitely want to be added because we have ArcGIS now. We would definitely want to be added.
Great. So that'll allow you guys to see like where certain properties have been inspected, what issues are along trails, what trails are actually on different properties. And so it's kind of a full-on database of we're trying to get all of the signage information too. So I know I might have lost Elaine and Andy, but if you guys have GPS of where you're putting in the signs, that would be fantastic. We can add that to the database as well. That way we can start that signage. And I know Meg, BLM's been working on putting together like a signage database for the monument as well. So maybe we can patch you guys in somehow or have that data merged in there soon, so.
Yeah.
Can you, this is Jane, can you email me on how we get involved with that? I can pass it along to Bettina, who does our ArcGIS. I'm not as much of a techie as she is, but she'll want to get in there as soon as possible.
Sure. Yeah. I'll have Oscar get in touch with her. And well, I'll have Oscar email you. And basically what it is you just send us your agency login and we add you as a member to that dashboard. So.
Okay, perfect. Yep, she'll be thrilled.
So just for confirmation, Katie, on behalf of Friends of the Desert Mountains, because we're going to have volunteer monitoring of our lands, other entities, can they enter into your database?
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
And and we also will be having some volunteers doing monitoring. So we have the ability to have a volunteer login as a user and then for the administrators on a different level as well. So you can vet the data as if you need to. So people can't like completely alter different maps. But that's what we're doing right now is basically trying to understand how the different organizations will come together and have, you know, you'll be able to see everything, you'll be able to enter into the database. And that'll be super helpful, I think, for us when we're sending out work orders for installing signs that are needed or cleanups or problem areas where I need to send law enforcement. Hopefully that makes sense. It'll make more sense when I show it to you, I guess. I did we did a small presentation at the CVCC meeting on last Thursday. So there's a little bit of information there that you can see. That's basically what I have. So I don't have much more. Our next meeting is May 19th, 2021 at 1:30. And unless there are any other new issues, it's got to be the quickest trails meeting that I've ever had. So thank you, everyone. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Kathleen.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you.